You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire.
Operation Dust Storm kicks up a ruckus in Japan's critical infrastructure. The Lazarus Group, said to be working on behalf of North Korea, is described by an industry consortium working as Operation Blockbuster. Malware is increasingly industrialized and professionalized. Apple returns the FBI's serve, releasing a list of other requests pending under the All Writs Act. Venture capital may be getting tighter and acquisitions more attractive. And finally, parents, your kid's smartphone isn't just a pricier library card. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Wednesday, February 24th, 2016. Some news on major threat actors breaks today. Cylance reports that Operation Dust Storm, a multi-year complex campaign, is systematically pursuing data from electric utility, oil and gas, finance, transportation, and construction companies. The point of entry is Japan, but the companies targeted have operations or connections that extend throughout Europe, Asia, and North America. Following its normal caution about attribution, Cylance says indications are that the actor is a nation-state, but it explicitly declines to name one. Cylance has told us on more than one occasion that it believes attribution is difficult, that evidence is too easily spoofed, and that there's a hasty rush to judgment, and that, after all, attribution is best left to people who, quote, wear badges and carry guns, end quote, that is, to law enforcement authorities. Their commendable reticence, of course, hasn't stopped general speculation about China and North Korea as the usual suspects. Some of the more interesting features of Operation Dust Storm include its complex attack modes. Spear phishing, waterholes, backdoors, and zero days have all been used to compromise corporate networks and Android devices, and its use of attack code that appears to have been customized to particular targets. You can find details at Cylance.com. Such customization is not confined to Operation Dust Storm either. Webroot, in its 2016 threat brief, concludes that malware's increased tailoring to specific endpoints is now effectively, quote, rendering signature-based security virtually useless, end quote. The other big threat actor news comes from the industry consortium that's been working on the so-called Lazarus Group, led by Novetta with participation from Symantec, Kaspersky, Alien Vault, Invincia, Threat Connect, Velexity, and Punch Cyber. Operation Blockbuster has published its results. The researchers find that the Lazarus Group has been active in cyber espionage since 2009 and that it participated in the Sony hack of November 2014. They trace the group to North Korea, no reticence here, and cite reused code and common passwords among the principal pieces of evidence. Much malware is now being open-sourced in criminal markets, various precincts of the dark web functioning effectively as an R&D shop for cyber gangs. The same collaboration and intelligence sharing that benefits legitimate work like that done by Operation Blockbuster can also be turned to illicit purposes. BAE's head of cyber threat intelligence sees an increasing professionalization of cybercrime, with malware production becoming industrialized. The CyberWire spoke briefly with Lucif Caroni, senior threat analyst with Deloitte Cyber Risk Services, who described how crimeware and botnets are now being offered on an as-a-service basis.
We can see, at least at Deloitte, we can see two big groups. One is a group of very professional, dedicated criminals who owns what they do, meaning they own the malware itself, malware that are not sold on forums to anyone. And then you have another group where you have this set of criminals creating malware and selling the toolkit to other users in forums. But at the same time, they are also using it for themselves. And then you have the third set of people who are just the users, people buying toolkits and services around. So at the end of the day, if you have the means, you can have your whole botnet set up without any intervention from you. I don't think we talk enough about it and about this new community coming into this business. We already know the ones that are into this business for a long time. The scary part is the ones coming because there are so many and it's so open. There are so many services that are not necessarily expensive that for a few $100 you can have a botnet set up and running, probably even for less.
An ESET-sponsored study in the UK suggests that the average age at which children first get their smartphone, and with the ability to surf and download pretty freely, is 10. Parents, it seems, are coming to regard a phone as a more expensive library card. That it's more than a library card and probably deserves to be managed with considerably more circumspection may be seen in the continuing story of You Know Kids, a firm that offers online child safety monitoring. You Know Kids has accused MacKeeper researcher Chris Vickery with breaching its networks. Vickery says he found an exposed database and that You Know Kids security is at fault. In any case, some 1,700 kids' data seem caught in the middle. In patch news, Microsoft updates its EMET security software, and the old familiar Drupal 6 content management framework reaches the end of its life today. It will no longer be patched or upgraded. In industry news, some analysts see a slowdown in the rate at which venture capital is flowing into cybersecurity startups. The immediate effects of the slowdown are being seen in startups cutting operating budgets and in a spike of M&A interest. There is indeed a spike in M&A news and rumor this week. BlackBerry has brought British cybersecurity consultancy Encryption, and Thycotic is reported to have picked up Windows Endpoint Security and Application Control software shop Aurelia. The biggest news in this area, however, is still in the realm of rumor. IBM is thought to be about to buy Resilient for a reported $100 million. Resilient is best known as the corporate home of security guru Bruce Schneier. In the U.S., the standoff between Apple and the FBI continues, with Apple getting in the latest volleys in their public exchange. The company's lawyers have released a list of 12 devices for which Apple has received requests for assistance under the All Writs Act, which suggests that there may be more at stake here in terms of precedent than the Justice Department has been wont to indicate. Joining me is John Petrick, editor of the CyberWire. John, it seems like we're seeing more and more stories that are sort of wrapped around social media and how that affects information ops.
We certainly are. One of the things that's been striking about ISIS has been that it is not so much operated on a traditional command and control model where people are being formally tasked and given orders and so on and so forth, but rather it's been organized on a cellular basis and it's relied on inspiration. So this is concerning people, and this is the kind of thing that people are groping for an answer to.
And this leads us to Twitter. Twitter's taken some heat lately for how they've handled removing accounts.
Right. For one thing, Twitter is one of the companies that's been asked by the government in the government's general push to help us do something about the ISIS narrative, about extremist narratives. And so Twitter has been blocking accounts that are associated with ISIS. In fact, there was some news earlier this week that actually came out of the program at George Washington University, the program on extremism, that said that Twitter had successfully suspended about 125,000 accounts linked to terrorists. So what Twitter is interested in doing is shutting down what it takes to be certain kinds of obnoxious behavior. And so it formed, and the name of this has been unfortunately received by people, what it calls a Trust and Safety Council, in which it's assembled a group of various activists, stakeholders, and so on and so forth. And they've assembled that earlier this month to go through and look for accounts that are abusive. So the complaint and the stick that Twitter is getting from the blogosphere generally is that it seems that the members of the Trust and Safety Council are probably disproportionately going after ideological disagreement, at least as much as they're going after things that any fair-minded person would recognize as trolling or threats of violence and so forth.
Is there a sense that Twitter is having any success in eliminating these accounts? Is it making a difference?
Well, I mean, the George Washington University program thinks that they did a good job in getting rid of those 100,000-plus accounts that were associated with ISIS. And George Washington has also said publicly that they think that there are fewer accounts and there's less of this kind of inspiration traffic coming out of Syria. On the other hand, there were two groups in Baghdad that just swore allegiance to the local affiliate of Al-Qaeda. Where was this announced? In the Al-Qaeda official Twitter feed. And that doesn't mean that Twitter is ill-willed or incompetent or that it's been subverted. It just shows that this is not an easy task.
John Petrick, thanks for joining us.
Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com. And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.